Let's bring in Scott Mitchell. He's CEO of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The Tiger Cats making some news yesterday, announcing that June Jones has been retained as their head coach. Mr. Mitchell, thanks so much for joining Stephen and myself today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. I think I've got the answer to that trivia question, but I'll have to go offline to get it to you.
Yeah, you go offline. Travis, anybody got it yet?
Oh, we did. Hitter, wasn't he?
Shh. Sorry. Don't say anything.
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
The decision to remove the interim tag and make June the head coach and bring him back, what went into that?
Well, I think it was obviously pretty easy. June did a fantastic job when he came in. We had 6 wins after Labor Day, and which led the league in terms of total points, and could have had 8 or 9 easily. Every game we lost were games we lost in the last couple minutes of the game. We had, I think, 3 of the 4 games we lost, we had chances to win in the last minute. So as good as the turnaround was, which, you know, obviously is not typical when you get off to such a horrible start as we did, it could have been even better. And I think when you – obviously you got to be careful with statistics, but when you look at the statistics of both the offense and defense for the season, we were last or second last in almost every major category in the first half of the season. And Labor Day and beyond, we were first or second in almost every single category in offense and defense. So it was a pretty – remarkable turnaround. June's obviously got great credibility and great background in terms of being a successful head coach. He's a absolutely terrific off-the-charts person. Really love having him with the organization. So all that added up to a easy decision, and it was Kent's recommendation to bring him back as the head coach, and it was a very amicable negotiation, and June's thrilled to be back.
Now, speaking of Kent, because now you've now answered one of the, 10 key offseason questions around the most interesting team in the CFL. But so Kent Austin yesterday announced that June was coming back. But what also came out yesterday, Scott, was the fact that Kent he's under contract, you guys, for I think another 2 years, but he is also looking into other jobs in other places, which is kind of an unusual situation unless a guy was going to leave. So what is Kent's status exactly right now?
Well, I wouldn't, not that I would pick on anybody or people in the media, Stephen, but guess what? That's not what is accurate. Kent is not looking at other opportunities. As I said previously, obviously, despite a very tough year last year, Kent still has a terrific reputation as a coach, not just in Canada, but in North America. And obviously, when a guy like Kent Austin is not coaching, he and his agent are going to get inbound calls from people who are wondering if Kent wants to coach. So Kent is not actively searching coaching opportunities, but obviously he and I and Bob Young all have a great relationship. And as these inbound calls come to hear his agent, they're very transparent with us about in case there's any news that someone's looking for a coach or Kent's name is floated. He's been incredibly transparent with us, and he's said right now that he's not interested in coaching next year. But I mean, look, he is a coach. He's been a coach for a long time, and there may be a time where he wants to get back to coaching, and we just have a very transparent dialogue about all those opportunities. But it's certainly not true that he's actively pursuing coaching opportunities.
But how would you rate what's the chance that, you know, when you guys go to camp in June that Kent is still, you know, is still there in his, you know, is there a chance that he will not be there as you guys reconvene in the spring?
Well, there's a chance for a lot of things, Stephen, as you know. But
I'm just saying, Scott, Kent, because he's under contract, you guys could say no. Correct?
We could say no, but we wouldn't say no to Kent if he felt very strongly about a great coaching opportunity for him and it was the right situation for his family. We talked about that a lot when he made the decision to step down, and we certainly wouldn't stand in the way of it. But I can tell you for sure it would have to be a very special and unique opportunity. And my sense, Stephen, is just that Kent right now, as much as he loved coaching, my sense is right now he's loving not coaching and doing all the other things he's doing. And that may change, you know, next week. It may change next month. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But, you know, we're well prepared and well structured to deal with it. But I suspect Kent's going to be with the organization at least through next year, if not for his full contract.
Okay, so question number 3, your current quarterbacking situation. Jeremiah Mazzoli, who had great success under June Jones, is going to be a free agent. Zach Caleros, who has struggled since the knee injury, is under contract. It's a pretty hefty contract. He's got a roster bonus coming up. Where are you going to go? In terms of the quarterbacks currently on your roster at this moment, what's the plan?
Well, I think first the plan was to get June back under contract, and now June's got to build out his staff. I think he's got a great plan and a great idea for what that staff's going to be. He and Ken will take care of all the details with that. And then once he's got the staff under contract, you know, they'll have some good discussions about every position on the team, certainly quarterback at the top of the list. I mean, it's going to be a difficult decision. It'll be an interesting process to see how they figure out what that decision is going to be. I can tell you that when June talks, he's very forthright in all of his conversations with everybody, including the media. So when he talks about his confidence in Zach being a good quarterback and has an opportunity to be a great quarterback in this league again, he means that. And I know he is incredibly fond of Jeremiah. So look, we see it as a good problem to have, but we're certainly going to have to deal with it. And I suspect, you know, that'll happen over time. We're not in any hurry. I think people kind of misconstrue the timing of this. We're certainly not in a hurry to do anything. It's something we can be deliberate about. And I think there's other situations around the league in terms of who's hired and who's back and how staffs are constructed and how they want to do things that may have an impact on those decisions too.
You know, Scott, earlier this year after he took over as head coach and the Johnny Manziel stuff came up, June was very clear that, you know, that look, should Johnny Manziel end up with the Ticats, he would have no problem acclimating him to the offense, that he would fit in to that offense. You know, how careful do you have to be that you don't, you know, your whole offseason isn't wound up in one guy, isn't wound up in Johnny Manziel, especially when we're talking about quarterbacking? It's such a hugely important position. It's the most important position in sports.
Oh, I think it's a good point. I would say, though, Jeff, that I think different situations in different cities might be a different focus. I think in our particular case, you know, June talked about it yesterday. It's highly unlikely that we could figure out a way to have both Jeremiah and Zach back. But obviously one of the two is going to be back as our starting quarterback. And then it'll be a discussion about who we fill in underneath the starter. So this won't be a situation as you've seen with some other places where you've brought in high profile people and they're plugged in as starters and they're building the franchise around it. I think if Johnny Manziel decides to come up to Canada, there's probably a number of cities where he'd be coming in as a guy to show what he can do. There might be one or two cities where he'd be coming in and they might be a little bit more proactive about building their franchise around him or another high profile NFL player. But, you know, that won't be the case with us. And if he comes to Canada and if Hamilton ends up being the right situation for him, obviously it's completely dependent on the process that the CFL is going through with Johnny right now. You know, he'd be competing for a position, but he wouldn't be coming into camp as a starter.
So you should probably, I guess, fill in for people, Scott. It's the process is ongoing, and it looks like you will not be able to, that the league will not have made a decision about Manziel until January. But in the meantime, June was rather positive about him yesterday. You know, he compared him, he didn't say he was Warren Moon, but he said he was a guy who he thought could come up here, play 3 or 4 years, and go back to the NFL the way Moon did and become a star. That's a pretty big endorsement from your head coach.
Yeah, I think, Stephen, the truth of the matter is when you do your due diligence, and we've done this around people that we've got great relationships in the NFL, I think, and you got to be careful because some of them know the league better than others, but I think that's a fairly unanimous consent that he would be, if things were right and if he was in the right structure and if he had the right coaching staff and he was in the right frame of mind, that he'd have a great opportunity to be a great player. But I think what June was really focused on, Stephen, when he was talking about that was physically. You know, he's been at 2 workouts with Johnny. He's looked at a ton of film of Johnny. I think he was surprised by the arm strength of Johnny on a big field. That maybe there might have been some question marks there that weren't based in substance. But I think he's talking about physically the tools, all the skill sets are there. The question is mentally and from a makeup perspective, you know, is he committed to being successful up here? And that's the question that needs to be answered.
You know, I'm old enough that I can remember June when he came through the CFL as a quarterback. And then, you know, he was an offensive coordinator, I believe it was Ottawa for a year. And then he went to SMU. This is a guy, Scott, who when he moved into coaching was a revolutionary thinker. You know, Southern Methodist University, when he was there, I mean, they did all sorts of funky stuff offensively. The game has changed, obviously. Football players have changed. Is June still kind of that revolutionary thinker, you know, or is he now, is the stuff that he's talking about now, is it a little more held hostage to the way the game is played?
Well, no, I actually think when you look at the way the NFL has played today, Jeff, as you said, it's actually playing a lot of the ways that June played at SMU and in Hawaii. That's the nature of the NFL game. It's actually much more like a CFL game. It's just not on the CFL field than it was 10, 20 years ago. So I think, listen, June would be the first to tell you. I mean, he took his stuff from Mouse Davis, and he built his philosophy around a bunch of great coaches, including Bill Walsh. And a lot of different people have adopted some of the things he's done. He talks about a lot of the New England Patriots stuff is based in some of the foundational stuff that he believes in, and things that Bill Walsh did and Mouse Davis. So I think he's always adapting. I think he's got an unbelievably creative, neat mind, but he's also very, very focused on repetition being the key to success. So he's got an offensive philosophy, and then he is going to keep repeating the structure and execution of that offense until the guys absolutely get it without having to think about it. And I think that's what you saw last year, is towards the tail end of the year. We had the top three receivers in the league the last six games. We had the top offense in the league the last four or five games. And I think you saw guys really start to adapt to that repetitive nature to it, because he's asking them to think a lot. And I think that's what you're seeing in the NFL a lot. There was a touchdown last night scored in the NFL game where it was a read route for a touchdown. And that just wasn't the philosophy of NFL offenses 20 years ago.
Just before we go, Scott, just one last Manziel question. If you get the green light from the league in January, if he kind of ticks all the boxes that the league is requiring him to tick in terms of off field stuff, do you anticipate signing Johnny Manziel if you get the green light to sign him?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for calling us the most interesting team in the league, Stephen.
Well, it was quite a year, Scott. It was quite a year.
Thank you. Well, that's our new off-season marketing campaign right there. I will tell you that we've definitely had a lot of interest in Johnny from around the league. And in all honesty, he would be treated if he passes the process, and that's a big if. We certainly haven't been given any conclusive thought as to whether that's going to happen for sure or not. There's some work to do there. But if that happens, I mean, he will be treated like every other player that we've got as a prospect in terms of what's the best for the franchise, whether we bring him in or whether there's a better fit for him and for us with another franchise. But, I'd certainly like to see him get through this process. I think that would be a very positive sign for him as a person, that he's contrite, that he's gone through a real rehabilitation process, that he understands the mistakes he's made, that he's committed to being a good citizen in this league. I think you guys know Randy Ambrosi well enough now to know Randy's going to be very disciplined about it. And if that happens, and if he's in the CFL, I think it'll be great for the league, and we'll see if that ends up being with the Hamilton Tiger Cats.